Me to see local congregations coming together to pray. We'll be a local congregation, but we're part of the visible church, and it's good to see the visible church, isn't it? A part of it gathered on Friday, local congregations. And may the Lord bless the local congregations who are together as we turn to the Lord in prayer. But let's also remember other places in the country. Our prayer meeting's a couple of weeks later to normal, but let's pray for those other places in Scotland and Ireland where people have gathered together, come from different congregations to pray. May the Lord hear our prayers. This coming Friday, we do look forward to the ministry of the Reverend Jeff Marshall. Well, if you would turn with me tonight to Colossians chapter 1, and verse 13, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ reigns over a kingdom which is his church. Through grace, men and women, boys and girls are brought into it. Well, as we think of the kingdom, we're particularly focusing on the church. It is a great blessing and an amazing privilege to be in the kingdom under his care and protection. What a blessing it is to know the King, to dine with the King, and to have the prospect of being under his favour, not only here in, upon earth, but then in heaven and for all eternity. What a blessing to be in the kingdom under Christ. Sadly, many, as our Lord declared in the parable of the pounds, will not have this man, referring to Christ, to reign over them. In Luke 19, verse 14, our Lord said, we will not have this man to reign over us, there in the parable. That's what the people were saying. And sadly, it's said often today, may not be audibly, but so many are saying it. They hear the gospel. They may pick up a John's gospel or a tract. They may be given a Bible, but no, we do not want this man. We do not want Jesus to reign over us. Well, let such be warned, and I say that in a compassionate and caring way. In Psalm 2, verse 12, we read, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Embrace the Son, but there's a warning, lest he be angry. And let sinners be warned, there is the wrath of the Lamb. There is the great compassion of Christ, but let's remember also, there is the wrath of the Lamb. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Just a kindling, oh, what that will be, how solemn it will be at death for the one who dies in their sins. They will find themselves in hell. In contrast, what a blessing to be under Christ, and having the prospect of heaven and being with him forever. No wonder there is a benediction pronounced in Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. As we come to this chapter, the Apostle Paul, after the inscription, his opening salutation and benediction, and thanksgiving to God for them, maketh known his prayers he had in his heart for them. And then his thankfulness to God for the benefits of redemption through Christ the Son. And that brings us to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, just before we come to verse 14, just note verse 13, rather, just note verse 14, referring to Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a blessing to know redemption, to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Consider, he went all the way to Calvary. He died there on the cross, he shed his precious blood, that those who look to him might be forgiven, that their sins would be covered. What a blessing to know redemption. And we particularly consider there the forgiveness of sins. To be in the kingdom, under the King, forgiven all our sins. So let's come now to verse 13. Our text, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. First of all, I'd like us to consider the dear Son. Secondly, the glorious kingdom. Thirdly, the royal subjects. And let us remember, we who love the Lord, we are royal subjects. And just pause and consider this. We've witnessed it recently. We've taken note of the King and the Queen, but we've noticed the Prince and the Princess and other princes and princesses. We've taken note, those in the royal family. We've watched them. Remember, people are taking note of you. You're in the royal family of heaven. And so we are to be so careful. We are to so walk in a way that is befitting of Christ. We are royal subjects. What a blessing. But let's remember it, that people look on, and we are to bear, therefore, that faithful testimony. Let people know that we belong to King Jesus. Well, let's consider first of all tonight the dear Son, verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now plainly, as we note verse 12, we're considering what the Father has done, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The elect sinner is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Christ. Now we have this word, translated. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This translated, it means to transfer, to be removed from one place to another place. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not in the place we used to be. Or we could put it like this, we're not in the kingdom we used to be in. We're in another place now, a far better place, and a far better kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 13, we've been translated, transferred, removed from one place to another. Which kingdom are you in? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take comfort and be encouraged. You're in the kingdom of Christ. What a work that takes place. Have you been translated? Are you in the kingdom? What a state I was once in. What a place under the power of darkness. In the kingdom of Satan, living for sin and in unbelief. Now just notice where one has been delivered from again. Verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Now in a moment we're going to consider the kingdom of the Father's dear Son, but let's just briefly, before we get there, consider the kingdom we were once in, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You think firstly it is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom we were once in. John 8 verse 44, he was the Father, one was under his rule. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through to verse 4, we read, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Under his rule, and we note there, he prompts the blindness. He prompts the blindness. There is blindness, where he prompts it, he whispers, don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe in the truth of the Bible. He prompts the blindness, as one of old put it. But one is spiritually blind, under his rule. It's interesting what we read in Acts 26, verse 18. Here's Paul, he's testifying before King Agrippa. To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You notice it there? There was blindness, but then there's sight. They were under the power of Satan, but then under Christ in the gospel. How blind men are under the tyranny of Satan. They're in his kingdom, leading on. They're in spiritual darkness, in the bondage of sin, in ignorance and unbelief. John writes in 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, this walking in darkness, there's ignorance. Yet there is one, they've convinced themselves they're a Christian, but there's a spiritual ignorance. They're walking in darkness. Some we consider, well, we know they're walking in darkness. Look at what they say, the blasphemy that comes out of their mouth. But there's others, they can give the appearance of being a disciple, but there's this ignorance within. They're only a disciple in name, but not in truth, what darkness they are in. as we think of one in the kingdom of darkness, one who's under the tyranny of Satan, one who knows this ignorance and unbelief, it's not good to be in that kingdom, is it? Satan and his allies are no friends. They do not seek one's good. They pretend to do, but they do not seek one's good. Satan may paint the world in fair colours and whisper in the ear, it's good to have a life not worrying about God. It's an easy path for you. You can be happy with the forbidden things. It doesn't matter. That's what Satan whispers in the ear. Oh, we pity those in the kingdom of darkness. And we used to be in the kingdom of darkness. However, there's been deliverance. What do we read in verse 13? Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a far better kingdom we are in. What a far better place we are in. We're in the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. Let's just focus on that. We're in the kingdom of the dear Son, as we note at the end of verse 13. Well, let's just open this up a little. Firstly, he's the loved one, as we think we are in the kingdom of his dear Son. He's the loved one. The Son is dear to the Father. Such a love, such an everlasting and infinite love the Father has towards the Son. Now, of course, the Son has such an everlasting love, such an infinite love to the Father. And so does the Holy Spirit. And the Father has such an infinite and everlasting love towards the Holy Spirit. And the Son has such a love, an infinite love towards the Holy Spirit. Such love. But let's focus on the love of the Father to the Son. He is the loved one. Such love the Father has. He so delights in him. He is well pleased. Such love in the heart of the Father. And it existed from all eternity. Such love towards the Son. Our Lord said in John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Such love. Just think of it, children. Before God made the sun and the stars and the moon, there was such love in the Godhead. This love was there in all eternity before this world was made. The Son was so loved by the Father. He's referred to, as we considered previously, as the beloved of the Father at the baptism of Christ. We read, and though a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, Matthew 3, verse 17, this, you consider him, my beloved Son. You know, a father or a mother can look on their children, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. I do. I know many of you do. And you convey that, don't you, to your children, because you love them. Well, consider this at the baptism. This is my beloved son. It was conveyed, it was published, it was made known. There's no doubt he's the dear son, the loved one, esteemed and delighted in, and so loved. Proverbs 8, verse 30, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. We're given a little glimpse there into the one who is the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider this morning. And there we consider him in eternity, daily his delight. The beloved of the Father at the transfiguration of Christ, this time in Matthew 17, verse 5, we read, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. The cloud, the presence of the Lord was known. There was the voice, This is my beloved Son. We're in the presence of the Lord tonight. We hear the voice of the Father through the Word. Oh, consider him. He is the beloved Son. We're to listen to him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I so love him. You listen to him. And what a blessing to listen to him who is so loved by the Father. Hear him. He's the beloved Son. He was chosen to be the Redeemer. And in time he came. In Isaiah 42 verse 1 we read, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The one that was delighted in, the chosen one. Such love towards him. Matthew 12 verse 18, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, in light of Isaiah 42, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. The beloved Redeemer. The one chosen and sent, beloved of the Father, the Saviour, the beloved Son. Oh, what love. He's the loved one. Just note these words at the end of verse 13, and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What love towards the Son. What love there is now in the Godhead. Just think of it. The Father is loving the Son with such an infinite love. And the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. There's love now. He is still the dear Son. He is the dear Son in this 21st century. What a blessing to be in his kingdom. What a comfort. He is the loved one. So loved by the Father, and through grace you've been subdued and brought into his kingdom. The loved one, but let's consider secondly here, he's the Son. What do we read here? Have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. His dear Son. And we think of such love towards the second person of the Godhead. As we think of the Godhead, there are three persons or personal distinctions within the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We think of the Trinity. One day I'm going to go up to those who are in Ringwood and introduce myself to them. That I'm a member of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Why? Because they're JWs and they don't believe in the Trinity, the truth of the Trinity. But Scripture makes it plain. And we're given a little insight here, aren't we? Have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. They equally share the same divine essence, and therefore equal in power and glory. Now when we think of the Son, he is eternally begotten of the Father. We think of the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we think of God the Son, he is eternally begotten of the Father. That's his feature, we could say. Equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, equal in power and glory, but we just focus that he is the Son, eternally begotten of the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself made that plain. Remember those words in John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His only begotten Son. Our Lord made it plain. He is the Son, the eternally begotten of the Father. Such a relationship exists. We see such a relationship in Proverbs 8, verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. We're just considering the relationship there. There is the Father and the Son. In John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's the feature of the Son to be eternally begotten of the Father. Equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Spirit, eternally begotten of the Father. Well, he is the Son, God the Son, and unto him were given a people who were loved in such a special way, and in love he came. 1 John 4 verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He was sent, the dear Son was sent on a mission of mercy to redeem a people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's the dear Son. What do you think of him? For many of you, I know he is the beloved of your soul. Can you all say that? Do you love him? Can you say he is altogether lovely? Song of Solomon 5, verse 16. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. The Father declares him to be the Son. Do you declare him to be your beloved friend? He's dear to me. Love in my heart, and I enjoy fellowship with him. 1 John 1 verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think of this relationship here, and as we think of the kingdom of the Father's dear Son, and the blessing of being in it, and fellowship with the King and the Father, what a blessing to have fellowship with God. Amazing fellowship we can know, sweet fellowship, precious fellowship, and it will be lasting fellowship. Oh, consider the beloved Son. His dear Son, such love. And what a blessing to love him who is so loved by the Father. Well, let's move on more briefly, and we'll be more brief now. Secondly, the glorious kingdom, the dear Son. But let's consider the glorious kingdom, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, plainly, it's Christ's kingdom, isn't it? And the Lord made that plain to Pilate. John 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now the Lord makes plain there, the kingdom is of a spiritual nature, even though it's found here upon earth. And I mentioned earlier, did I not, the visible church. Each local congregation is part of the visible church. When we consider the church, some do not always rightly consider this, but when we consider the church, we are to behold it in three ways. First of all, the invisible church, or those savingly united to Christ. And then we behold, then we consider rather what we call the visible church. And that's simple, isn't it? What we see. The local church is part of the visible church. And we see that in Corinthians. The church of God, which is at Corinth. We're focusing on the church of God, and then we're focusing on the local church at Corinth. So the local church, rightly, this is the historic view of Scripture, is part of the visible church. But we think of the church. We think of the kingdom. It is of a spiritual nature, even though we can visibly see the church here upon earth. My kingdom is not of this world. We think of the church. In Matthew 16, verse 18 through to verse 19, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You consider he's focusing on the church, and then he immediately says there, still focusing on the church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. You see there, the kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. My church. What a blessing to be in his church, in his kingdom. What do we read here? Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Young people, children, what are we thinking of? We're thinking of the church. We're thinking particularly of those who are truly saved. They're found here upon earth, but also in heaven. We're thinking of the church. We see the visible aspect of the church, but we're particularly thinking of those here who are truly the Lord's, in his kingdom. What a blessing to be in his kingdom. He is the king, and he reigns over the church. He reigns over the church as a whole. He is head and king of the church. We see that in Psalm 2. He is king. He reigns over the church as a whole, but also he reigns in the individual heart. What a blessing to have Christ within. Satan has been dethroned. Christ, the stronger one, now has come. And he reigns within. He reigns over the church as a whole, but he reigns in the heart. What a blessing to be in his kingdom and to know that Christ the King reigns in our hearts as well. What a blessing to be savingly united to Christ in his kingdom. What grace. We can think of the kingdom of grace, that aspect. We're in his kingdom, and it's of grace, isn't it? Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. True converts are in his church in the kingdom of grace, because grace brings us in. We're saved by grace, and there's such grace to be known in the kingdom. For true converts are in the kingdom of grace, and they will enjoy being in glory one day. So that's why we also consider the kingdom of glory. Well, we think of the kingdom, the church. What a blessing to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just note one or two things as we draw to a close, as we think of this glorious kingdom. Firstly, the king's presence is known. The king's presence is known. Now, a couple of weeks ago, our king visited every part of the United Kingdom. He was found in Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. The king's presence was known in the kingdom. Or consider the kingdom of Christ, his church. The king's presence is known. It's the kingdom of his dear son. That implies he's there. Oh, what a blessing to be in a kingdom where Christ is in a special way, to know his presence. Now, we consider the kingdom is glorious because it's of the Lord's making. But consider the kingdom is glorious because the king walks in the kingdom. He's known in the kingdom. Matthew 18, verse 20, but where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's the king in the kingdom. He's there in a special way, but he's there in a general way as well. He's in the kingdom, though I am with you always. In a special way, he's known in the kingdom. Now, we know that our king is in the United Kingdom. I take he hasn't flown off to some other country yesterday or today. He's in the kingdom. But for some of the subjects, they know at times, that he's right there. He's with them because he's visited them. But the King of Kings is in the kingdom in that general way. But there are times when we know that the King is right there. That's his special presence is known. Psalm 22, verse 22. Listen to Christ. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. There's the King in the congregation, in the church, as we note in Hebrews 2, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The King is there with his subjects in a special way, and he leads the song, as we see plainly in Scripture. The King of Kings himself leads the song, and the subjects join in with the King in singing. He's God, so praise is received by him, but he also leads the singing. We noticed King Charles III a few weeks ago singing Psalm 23, and others in his family singing alongside, and other guests there who were invited. Consider Christ. He leads the singing of Psalm 23 in his church, and his subjects join him. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. It's a forgotten subject. But Christ the King in his church leading the song. And that's why I say to you, listen out for Jesus in the singing. Oh, focus on him. Listen to his voice. What a privilege to be in the presence of the King. To know his presence and to hear his voice. I'll give you an example. Psalm 116. The Lord Jesus said and sang those words just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and then to the cross. I love the Lord. When we sing those words, we hear the King speaking. In the midst, the King comes. He receives the praise because he is God, but he leads the singing. The King comes. Oh, the people would recognize there is a King here at Ipsley. The very King of Kings. But also many are still in the kingdom of darkness. And there's ignorance. And there's blindness. Or that their eyes would be open. They would be brought in and rejoice with us in view of the King. His presence is known. He delights to be with his subjects. You notice a few weeks ago, King Charles III, out on the street, shaking the hand of so many who had waited hours to see him, how the King of Kings liked to come near and embrace you in his arms of love. What a thought the King pays a visit to his subjects who are in his kingdom. What a blessing. The presence of the King is known. Are you aware of King Jesus tonight? Take comfort. There are times when you may not be aware of King Jesus, but he's there. He's come. And he's come to help you. So there is his presence. But secondly, there is his rule. He rules in the kingdom. Remember those words in Micah 5 verse 2? Well known words. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Ruler in Israel, he's King in the church. I love this thought. The crown rights of Christ, and he has them. And he declares them in his church. The crown rights of Christ. He's the ruler in Israel. He wears the crown. Where do we see that in Scripture, children? Psalm 21. Where's the crown of purest gold? Why do we have that reference there in Psalm 21? Because he's the King of Kings. And there's none like him. And no one else deserves to wear such a crown. He has the crown rights. He has the rule. He is the head. He rules in his church. There are his commands. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We see the Ten Commandments now are kept out of love for Jesus. We have no hope of being saved by the keeping of the law, because we're guilty of the law. When it is broken, for we break that, we're guilty of the breach of the law. There's no hope. But all now in the kingdom, out of love for Jesus, we seek to keep his commandments. Then we think of that command in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We think of the love of the King, let there be love amongst the subjects. True love, not a pretended love, but a true and sincere love amongst the subjects. He has the rule. He rules justly. Then consider the things he has appointed in the church. Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so God's servants are to bow to the King in view of worship, in view of all things in his house. There is this rule, well, we could go on. There's his rule, he's king, he has the crown right, there's his presence. The king comes to visit his subjects. A number of years ago in Salisbury, the queen came to Salisbury. I just happened to be round the corner, but I didn't have enough money for the car park, and so I couldn't stop. But there was the queen, she visited Salisbury. Consider the king, he visits his people so regularly. Think of the presence of the King in every church where he is loved at this very moment in the United Kingdom. So many places he's visiting at this moment. He loves to be with his subjects, and he loves to be with them in an individual way in their lives as well. What a blessing to be in the kingdom of his dear son. To be a royal subject, we haven't got time to look at this, but I leave you with this. There's a way into the kingdom. One is delivered, brought in through grace, but there we focus on a way in. The King is the door. John 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and so going out, in and out, and find pasture. We think the first part, he's the way in. The second part, we're led to consider fellowship with Christ, how he leads his people. But then we consider he's the way in. I am the door. Who's at the door of the kingdom? It's Christ. And dear brothers and sisters, when you were saved, who did you meet? It was Jesus. Who did you believe in? It was Jesus. Who was there to greet you? It was the King. He is the King. He's the door. Through grace we were brought to Jesus. And he let us into his kingdom. And he's dined with us. And he's been with us. And he's led us. He's guided us. What a blessing to have been brought to King Jesus. Subdued by grace. Oh, remember, dear brothers and sisters, we have been brought to the King. We're in his kingdom. We're royal subjects. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We're offering up sacrifices of praise, aren't we? We're in the royal family of the King of Kings. We're a holy nation. People are looking on us. Do they see something of King Jesus in the way we act, the way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves? Oh, we are subjects of the King in his kingdom, and we will know this King forever and ever. And we will dine with the King. Children, one day you may be invited to Buckingham Palace. I've never been invited to Buckingham Palace yet, but who knows? And you're invited to dine with the King. For those who love the King, who have faith in the King of Kings, one day will be invited to the Palace of Heaven. And there they will dine with King Jesus in heaven. What a feast he will prepare there for us. You think of King's banquets. We've all seen it, haven't we? Great big tables, so much food and provision. Oh, think of heaven to be there with the King. What a rich banqueting table, such provision, such delights, such pleasures. And then in the heavenly world, the King will say unto us, come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And there we will go with the King, King Jesus, into such raptures of joy and delights. And there we will be with him in the heavenly world, ever bowing the knee in adoration, ever listening to him, ever admiring his royal beauty and enjoying fellowship with him and with all his subjects. What a blessing to be in the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. And let me comfort you, you who love the Lord, with this truth as I close. You'll never be taken out of that kingdom. You're in that kingdom forever. And therefore you're going to know King Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Oh gracious God, how can we thank you enough? We're in the kingdom of thy dear Son. That we know the presence of King Jesus. That we know what it is to dine at his table. We know what it is to listen to his voice in praise. And we have the prospect of being ever with this wonderful King. Oh, we thank thee for that day when the King will say to us after the judgment, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. We shall go with the King of Kings into the heavenly world. And there we will be so happy throughout the ages of eternity. Oh, what a prospect. We will see the King in his beauty. Oh, we look forward to the palace. We look forward to Emmanuel's life. We look forward to an eternity with King Jesus. It is our prayer for any who are strangers to him in our families, that they would be translated. And we pray that many would be translated, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. What thou hast done for us, do for many. May the numbers of the royal subjects grow in the visible church. Lord, we pray. And even in this local church, which is part of the visible church, Lord, oh Lord, we take great comfort. We're part of a great church which is seen here upon earth. And a church, those who are saved, is known in heaven as well. What a blessing. We thank thee for the kingdom that is extending around this world. And one day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of Christ, as thy word makes plain. What a kingdom that is growing. What a blessing to be in this kingdom and to know thee, King Jesus. May we ever remember thy crown rights. May we ever bow the knee. Lead us on gently, blessed King. Lift the scepter, assure us of thy favour. Hear us, blessed King. All glory be to thee, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Our final praise is Psalm 89, verses 24 through to verse 28. My mercy and my faithfulness with him yet still shall be, and in my name his fallen power men shall exalt it be. His hand and power shall reach a path, or set it in the sea, and his right hand established shall in the rivers be. Thou art my Father, he shall cry. Thou art my God alone, and he shall say, Thou art the rock of my salvation. And notice, here's the Father speaking of the Son. And children, just notice, verse 27, here's the Old Testament reference that Jesus is King of Kings. I'll make him my firstborn, the only begotten Son, more high than kings of any land. Is Jesus the King of Kings. My love I'll ever keep for him, because he's the dear Son. My covenant, the covenant of grace, fast shall stand. Psalm 89, verses 24 through to verse 28, and the tune is Weatherburn.
My mercy and
gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.